It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Before we get back to your calls about the Yankees, Yanks, of course, off but coming off a win last night at the stadium. I was on hand to see it go up two games. Sonnen, BT in the ALCS game three tomorrow. So they're traveling to Cleveland, I think, as we speak. And they'll get ready to take on the Guardians for the next couple of games at least. Mets, of course, tonight out at Citi Field. So your calls on that, 888-808-1019. Ulbrich said, I guess just now, that Devontae Adams, who's missed the past three games due to a hamstring injury, is expected to play Sunday versus the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't want to play for the Raiders, obviously. And I think if it was something serious, the Jets, even with their high level of desperation, maybe they would have done something dumb and traded for him anyway. Doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it was just him not wanting to get on the field and get hurt and play with the quarterback who's awful. So, you know, here he is. And it's funny, we haven't mentioned the Jets today. Why would we? It's Yankee and Met day. So I get it. But I'm going to rally, and you would try to get me there yesterday at the end of the show with the win-loss game. Like, I still really don't care that Devontae Adams is here. Maybe it's going to be different when I see him on the practice field or certainly the first big catch Sunday if he has one against the Steelers. But right now, Sal, it's an emptiness.
We'll get there. I mean, it's still Wednesday, still baseball mode, like you said. By Friday, certainly, we'll get there. On the Giants as well, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns are not practicing today. Something to keep an eye on. This, of course, after Andrew Thomas is out for the year with the surgery.
Frank.
That's going to be a major problem. Dable did say that Jermaine Illuminor is going to stay at right tackle, at least for now. Izudu, or whatever, however you say his name, he's going to move to left tackle in place of Thomas for now. That's a problem for the Giants. Although the good thing is Neighbors is progressing well. Finally, we're getting some progress from Neighbors. I want to get you the exact way.
He's wearing a red jersey. He's not contact to practice.
Dable said he's making good progress.
Yep, and Bogish had the update. You weren't in the room, but okay. For those who may have missed it, he's going with the red jersey. No contact here. So,
okay.
Right, good news, you're going to probably get Neighbors back. Bad news, you're going to lose your horse and Dexter Lawrence in all probability. And
you think he's going to be out?
Well, I'm saying, maybe or certainly compromised. I mean, it's Wednesday.
I mean, he's not practicing.
Maybe I'm leaping. Okay. Maybe that was a little fast. Good catch. But certainly not a guarantee that he's playing. That's not a lock. Kayvon's out, coming off the surgery. Burns is banged up. And Andrew Thomas, one of the two or three best left tackles in football, done for the year.
And I would say Thomas is their most valuable player, offensively. So even with Neighbors and all that he's done, and it just sucks that it's against the Eagles, of course.
I know.
Where you just would like to have at least the offensive line as a whole. But maybe you get Neighbors back, and who knows. All right, we'll get more into the football as the week goes on. 888-808-1019. Back to the baseball calls. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. I'm going to take a page out of Pete Hoffman's book. He said on his show last week, I listened all the 24 hours of the fan, and he said, soon as Yamamoto and Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, you kind of knew the baseball gods were going to set this up.
Hmm.
And I just hope they knock them out. Yamamoto using the Mets and Yankees, and Ohtani wanting no part of New York, and the Dodgers getting away with backloading a ridiculous contract. I just hope both of those guys are going to hear it. And Yamamoto pitches tomorrow. It's going to be crazy at Citi Field. I just hope they knock them out, guys.
That's going to be juicy. That's an interesting point, Hoff. Good job. If you said that back in the day, I'll take his word for it. Listen, I think the reaction, like say if it's the Yankees in the World Series or obviously the next couple of days in Queens with the Mets here, to me, the reaction should be very different. Like, the Yamamoto stuff's got to be venomous because he played the Yanks and the Mets, never wanted to come here, and neither did Ohtani, but he never projected remotely like he did. I think Ohtani, you boo, and obviously you try to get in his head because you're just, you know, terrified if he goes on a three-game heat streak, a hot streak, it's over because he's amazing. So it's a different energy, but Yamamoto should be a massive target for verbal destruction because he just played both of us.
Yamamoto used New York. Ohtani didn't want any part of New York. And now both teams will have a crack at him. Either the Mets send them home or the Yankees are going to have the opportunity to send them home. Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yamamoto!
I'm going to go tonight, but I didn't want to go tomorrow. You get the Yankees playing as well. I don't want to go back-to-back nights, 8 o'clock start. However, being in a building to boo the pants off of Yamamoto is appealing.
Yeah, that was something that, Sal, you and I spent, I mean, we spent 2 months on Yamamoto.
Yeah, a lot of the offseason was
2 months.
With no payoff because he didn't choose either the Mets or Yankees.
I know.
He screwed us. He went to L.A.
I thought for sure he was coming to the Yankees. Remember, Aaron Boone presented him with a Yankee jersey?
He's going to feel the wrath tomorrow.
Oh, he's going to get abused.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to handle it either. I think they're going
to pound. I'd like to see the Mets smack him around.
I'd be surprised if the Mets didn't win 2 out of 3. Frank is on Long Island. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Frank. How are you?
Hey, good. So, all right, first, like, obviously, I respect you guys immensely. I love your show. I love listening to you guys. And hey, you guys know, obviously, the baseball knowledge. Who am I, right? But I play baseball, coach a little baseball. I love baseball and big fan. Sal, just to start with you, right? So, like, I love your passion. Again, respect you. And I somewhat agree with you, right? But I think you're being a little sour, right? So in a sense, like, kind of anti-Yankees in a sense, right? So I'm going to be rational, right? So let me just say a couple things and make a couple points. First of all, we all know, right? Baseball is streaky. It's, you know, momentum based a little bit. And the difference here and there, a couple of hits, you know, as they say, it's a game of inches, right? So of course, a couple of hits, better base running, these little differences can make a huge difference, right? So I'm not going to attack the Mets or anything like that because I respect them and they're a dangerous team and I love what they're doing as far as how great they're playing. Look at even the Mets, right? So obviously they've had their best record since June 5. But look at how they barely, I don't want to say barely. I mean, look, Lindor hit that a massive home run to get them.
Yeah, we get it.
Wild card. Look, the Brewers series, right? If Alonso doesn't hit that home run, listen, they're not advancing in that series, right?
Right, but Frank, I was not talking about the Mets today. The only reason why the Mets are relevant is because they're one of the teams that the Yankees might face. This is a Yankee day and a Yankee conversation. Yeah. And we've talked a little Mets. But from a Yankees perspective, they are going to face HL. Yeah. Forget the Mets. It could have been the Padres or the Phillies. It just so happens that the Mets are one of the two teams standing in the National League. The Yankees are going to have to face a far better team than anything they faced before. And I believe that if they continue to play like this, it's not going to be good enough to win a World Series. That's it.
And listen, I agree
with
you.
Doesn't mean I'm right. We'll find out.
No, listen, I agree with you. And by the way, you're a fellow Long Islander, right? But by the way,
I'm in Jersey now, baby.
Oh, you're in Jersey. Well, listen, no one's more frustrated than me. How many times, first inning in this playoff run that the Yankees, had runners on base and they didn't capitalize.
But that's the point. It seems like every game.
No. But look, if BT made a point about, and again, it's not Mets versus Yankees, but listen, things go one way or the other. Look, the Mets had the 9-0 game, with the Dodgers. And so, hey, let's just talk about the Yankees, though, for a second, right?
No, Frank, thank you for the call. I've had enough. We appreciate you checking in. I mean, I think we gave you plenty of time, Frank, here. All due respect.
That's a demo tape, yeah. Frank. Try to get a job in the business. We kept you on long
enough.
He was
on for 2 minutes,
now he wants to get to the conversation.
I'm sorry, Frank.
That's all right, man.
But thank you
and
for the call.
And he tried to drop, I have a long island. Yeah. Listen, they tried to buy 30 extra seconds. No dummy. Good effort there, Frank.
Yeah,
we just had to move on.
We appreciate the call, Frank. And I understand what you're trying to say. When I say BT, it's not about the Mets, meaning that I know it's a natural thing to happen with the fans. It is not a Mets versus Yankees fan thing. it might turn out to be Mets versus Yankees in the World Series, but what I say about the Yankees has zero to do with me growing up a Mets fan. Why I think the Mets are good right now has zero to do with me being a Mets fan. I believe in this team based on what I have seen. If it weren't them, I'd be saying the same thing about the Yankees where I hold the Yankees to a higher standard. Sure, because we're talking about them winning a World Series. Mm-hmm. And to win a World Series, I think at some point, they're going to have to hit better with runners in scoring position. They're going to have to get Gerrit Cole to go 7 or 8 innings. It has to be the constant as opposed to, well, Cole's had 3 starts and he's been bad for 2 of them. When the competition gets better and it's going to get at least another notch better the next round when the Yankees are there, I think it's going to be difficult to win games playing the way that they've played so far in the postseason.
Listen, I get what you're saying. I look at it 2 different ways here. I look at it from a storyline perspective, like from the Yankees lens. Like, all right, so if, and not even of the other 2 teams in the NL right now. I mean, really even before the divisional series. So if I had my choice, what would be the best storyline? What would I lean into and embrace the most from my job, from my fandom? Give me Yankees Mets Subway Series.
Right.
Give me Yankees and Mets. Choice 2 would be Yankees and Dodgers for
it's
the history.
Be great, yeah,
and phenomenal,
yeah.
Right? Now, from
I mean, we haven't seen that in
1981,
yeah,
and the Dodgers
saying,
beat them
over 40 years.
Yeah,
this
is how I'll finish my point in a second. But it's crazy how this is still seared in my mind. I remember in 1981, and I watched a few of the games. I was 7 years old, and you know, I remember the babysitter was over, and I remember my parents had a movie or they had a wedding, and I remember Bob Watson hitting an opposite field home run, and I remember like my eyes half open. So I do remember watching that Kenny Landreau and of course Sayin Garvey. I knew the names Fernando, and I knew all the Yankee names, but I don't remember watching that. But I do remember the next day the newspaper coming in, and my mom laying it down for our dog. Like, we didn't have a little cage. We had a small dog. We had a little newspaper. And she put it down, and the back page of the Daily News was the 3 triumphant Dodgers, and it was the 3 Steves. It was Steve Garvey, it was Steve Howe, and it was Steve Yeager, the catcher. And that's 1981. I don't know, October 20-something, 1981. And I still remember looking at that. I'm like, good, you know, pee on that. Just destroy that newspaper, right? So I would love to play the Dodgers, too. You won't like this. You might not agree, but I feel this. From an easy, like, who would I prefer to forget about the storylines? Just the best way for the Yankees to win? I would want to avoid, first, the Dodgers. I would want to avoid the Padres. And then I would want to, it's flip a coin, Mets or Phillies. Like, to me, even what happened over the summer, the Mets are a great matchup for the Yankees. Now, those words might burn me forever.
Why do you think that?
I just think I think the Dodgers and Padres are more talented than the Mets. That, like, I just think that they're better. They have higher level players. And I think that the Yankees have more higher-level players than the Mets. Now, it didn't work out during the summer, but the Yankees were also rolling out J.D. Davis and Tyrone Taylor, a different team, didn't have Jazz yet, not doing
Jermaine
much
Jones,
yet. But,
Jones,
thank you. So I just think that there's 2 things. Like, what's the best for us? Yanks-Mets. Let's go. What's the easier road? The Mets are closer to the top of the list than they are the bottom.
I think either way, it's going to be a great World Series matchup with the Yankees versus the Dodgers or the Yankees versus the Mets Subway Series. And yeah, there's going to be the trash talk back and forth between the fans. But if you eliminate that and just look at these teams, if I were ranking the teams in the postseason right now overall, I would go Mets first. You could put however you want, Dodgers or Yankees after that, and then the Guardians would by far be like last. At least the Yankees are in the conversation, but it would be Dodgers, Padres, Phillies, Mets, all those teams.
Maybe even
with the
Orioles.
Maybe.
Or the Astros.
But the Orioles,
maybe.
I wouldn't be. Put it this way. If I'm looking at it from a Mets perspective,
yeah,
doesn't matter. Guardians, Royals, Tigers, Yanks. I really think the Mets have been better. And it doesn't mean the best team always wins, but they've been better for a longer period. John is calling from Huntington. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Wanted to touch in on the conversation you guys have been having all day. I think you are slightly, Sal, under estimating the Royals and the Guardians. Now, the Yankees are definitely the better team, and they should be winning, and they are. And it's kind of ugly. I will agree with you on that. And at some point, they're going to need at least 1 mega start from Cole and do a little better with runners in scoring position. But they both had top 10 ERAs. They both had, I think, better pitching staff top to bottom than the Mets and Dodgers. So you asked E.T. why he thought the Yankees are, why he's so confident the Yankees win the World Series. I think because every team is flawed.
Right.
I mean, the Mets don't have a great bullpen. I think the Yankees have the advantage in the bullpen. I think the Yankees have the advantage all around pitching against the Dodgers. And the three lineups are probably the best three lineups left. So, you know, if the Yankees can just get a couple more clutch hits, you know, they're right there with the Mets and the Dodgers in terms of offense. And they have, and if they play the Mets have no one on the level of Soto or Judge. So, could the Mets are playing great?
Well, I mean, the Mets say they don't have anybody on the level of Soto and Judge. And thank you for the call, John. Soto and Judge clearly great. I mean, Francisco Lindor could win an MVP this year. So, and he's, look at what he's done in the postseason. I don't care how great Judge and Soto are, they haven't done what Lindor has done this postseason. End of story. I'm not saying I'd rather have Lindor over those two guys, but they haven't done it. He's actually done it. Judge hit a home run, and we're going nuts, and everybody's taking bows because he hit one home run. Look at the home runs Lindor's hit in the last few weeks.
Listen, his high moments have been incredibly high, and he's been really good. It's not like he's hitting 370.
Right.
Like, his moments you'll never forget, all-time Met moments,
right,
on some level, all-time, you know, baseball moments. I mean, if you really love the sport, you remember what he's done. You know, he's not going to win the MVP, even we could have, yep, the argument. Judge is, and, you know, Soto's a top five player. So I think the key for the Yankees, and really the key for the Mets, is, like, if Pete goes on a heater, that changes quite a bit, and Vientos has been very good. I still think it's Jess. I think if Jazz Chisholm, you know, gives you, you know, a little pop, whether it's home runs or doubles, gets on base, runs wild, I think that he transforms more than Wells or some of the other pieces. Verdugo, who's been pretty good, by the way, Verdugo. I think Jazz has more upside to turn this Yankee lineup from so far, oh, in the playoffs, okay, to very circular and no soft spots, because he's been terrible. He's been an easy out, and he's very gifted. Like, you know, Wells is just going through it. He's young. You know, Verdugo hit 233 during the season. So even though he's been good, what do you really expect in the playoffs? Jazz Chisholm's a borderline, not a star, but he might morph into one, and he's a cut below a star with Miami. So if he gets going, I think the Yankees, the profile's totally different,
and
Sal.
And they're getting good production from the bottom of the order, whether it's Volpe, Rizzo, Verdugo, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
It's really just been Wells and Jazz who haven't gotten it done, or the Yankees, you know, Judge.
With
the timely hit, especially early, yeah, on these games, they are going to have to flip Wells at some point. You just can't keep riding them out like that behind Judge. But we'll see when, if in fact the Yankees do decide to do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. One quick note, BT, on the Mets. We've talked a little bit about their lineup and maybe some changes. It doesn't sound like Jeff McNeil is going to be in the lineup tonight. Like, at what point do you decide to give Alvarez a little breather? He's in the nine hole, so it's not killing them, but my God, he's giving them nothing It's maddening watching Francisco Alvarez. Now, is Torrens a great option? Torrens, in limited time this year, has been productive.
Yeah.
I would potentially give him a look, especially, I don't know the matchups and the analytics and all that, what it says. I wouldn't mind the pop of Alvarez being in the nine hole, but if he continues to be a zero, why not give Torrens a look at least for a game?
I wouldn't mind doing that. You know, again, the analytics, and they've got that, and the numbers, whatever. Forget about that. Just watch him hit. He's lost. I mean, you know, Austin Wells is in the hole, though, too. I was talking about him before and whether or not the Yankees should drop him. And if you just tuned in, I said no. I'm going to give it one more game because of his last at-bat. Again, glorifying five foul balls is ridiculous at the major league level. But, yeah, I mean, I get it. But he lined out to right, and I'm going to give one more chance. And before I mess around with Stanton or flip thing, maybe even Rizzo for. The difference with Wells, like, he's on the ball. He's still, it's 0-2 immediately. And it's the same with Alvarez, but it's a different 0-2. He's lunging, he's missing pitches. He looks awful. So I don't know that. I mean, what do you do to the young man's confidence? One of the reasons why we'd like him is he seems to be very inherently confident, right. Almost cocky. But maybe a little mid-series reset's not the worst thing in the world. He's done nothing with the stick.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Chris is in Bayshore. What's up, Chris? Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, Chris. What's happening, bud?
I just got one thing on the Mets and Yankees. I think the Yankees have, it's not their fault you play who you play, but, I mean, and it's too early in the Cleveland series, but the Royals walk the ballpark, and the Guardians look not like the Guardians you think they are. And, I think that they just have to guard against being a little bit overconfident. I don't know. And I kind of think that in the Mets situation, I think the Mets have something that'll get them by the Dodgers. I just do. It could be like a 60 series where the games they lose are lopsided, but they prevail because they got a little something going on. That's just the feeling I get.
I don't think the something going on, Chris, and thank you for the call, is good enough. Right? I mean, I know it's nice to say, and yeah, the team of destiny. What I think happens is when you have that type of success, when you are looking like you're going to be defeated and sent home and you come back, that breeds a new life and a new confidence into a team. So it's not a spraying of pixie dust. It's that they believe that they can come back from anything because they've done it. Their season was almost over against Atlanta on that doubleheader Monday. And then it wasn't. Their season was over Thursday night in Milwaukee in that game 3. And then it wasn't. Game 1, they were getting shut down in Philadelphia, and then it wasn't. Like, think of all the things that they've overcome. The series, oh, man, 9-0 to the Dodgers. How are they going to bounce back? They're looking at 0-2 coming back home, and then it's not, and then they split it. So that's, to me, it's more what they're doing as opposed to some magic dust that's being sprayed. It's because they continue to win in these spots that breeds life and confidence to them, which makes them dangerous.
It's something that you can't quantify, but it's something you have to acknowledge this. Like, yeah, I mean, the cute little Mets, little teeny weeny Mets train, choo choo, cute story. You can't. I mean, you can. I don't lean on that. I mean, they've proven to be too tough and too resilient. And Lindor's been really, really good. And Vientos has been really, really good. And their at bats have been really, really quality when they've had to be. And by the way, I don't think they would have won game 1, but I'm not so sure they don't put a few runs up on the board if Winker doesn't run into that out. I mean, again, they're not coming back to where I think it was 6-0 at that point, whatever it was, and Winker got hung up between second and third. It wouldn't surprise me if they would have scratched out 2-3 runs, you know, after, you know, getting whacked around early in the game just to kind of make it more, more competitive, maybe give themselves some more juice for game 2, which they obviously had coming out of the chute when Lindor going yard. When you have to learn on his first at-bat, when you have to learn how to be comfortable often when everything around you is uncomfortable, the uncomfortability becomes almost naturalized and normalized. So their slow rates, their heart rate becomes slower, and it's not a thing. It's no advanced metric for, you know, for that kind of stuff, but you know when you have it and you know when you don't. And in terms of that stuff, I would probably say the Mets have more than any other. Not probably. The Mets have any more of that than any other team in baseball. That stuff.
Pat is in Boca Raton, Florida. What's up, Patty?
How's it going, guys? Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I got one thing, and just hear me out. It's actually two things. It's the same breath that you're saying, you know, it's not about the Mets. It's about the Yankees right now, blah, 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 all that good stuff. Can we rank the bullpens that are left in the in playing right now? Who's the best bullpen out there right now?
I think the Yankees by far right
now.
Guardians
is pretty good. Too. Yankees or Guardians?
That's what I thought as well. Where's the Mets?
Good question.
Third or fourth.
I need to see more from I need to see more from Cleveland. It's supposed to be a strength, but
Cleveland has the best bullpen. They're not pitching. They haven't had the chance to pitch. The Yankees have not given them the chance to get in there and shut down games. So you have to give the Yankees some credit for this. They're not giving them the chance to get that bullpen that's ridiculously dominant. So don't tell me that Cleveland's not good and Cleveland's not good. Cleveland has been thrown off their game by the Yankees.
Well, who was it on the
Yankees? Come on already.
Who was
the Mets have gone against bullpens that can't get it out.
Pat, you're making it about the Mets. Let's focus on the Yankees. Who was it on the Yankees that forced the issue with that pop-up that was dropped at short last night? What was that?
Oh, that was terrible. Well, what was the score? That was one run that came in on
that. It was the first run of the game, Pat. Get lost. Thank you for the call. First run of the game. Cleveland wetting themselves at the sight of Yankees in Yankee Stadium, a team that's supposed to be a great defensive team, dropping a pop-up. I mean, my goodness. They dropped a pop-up. How's that forcing the issue on the Yankees? And by the way, the Yankees, BT, had a chance to really do damage and break that game wide open, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Guardians got out of it with just one run was a miracle. I don't even know how that happened because the Yankees, again, didn't take advantage of opportunities. All I'm saying is that if they continue to do that, I believe they will get beat by a better opponent that, you know, is not going to drop a pop-up.
I'm going to take the Guardians, right? And I'm going to make them an NHL team for now, just for a second. And they don't have a great offense. Their defense is great, but it's good, but it's not amazing. Their strength, and it's not the greatest equivocation, but you'll see where I'm going. What they're best at is special teams, all right? And then they find themselves in a seven-game series, conference semis, conference finals, Stanley Cup, whatever you want to do. And the team that they're playing isn't committing any penalties, which is not giving them a chance to deploy their special teams, which means they are neutralizing what they do best. So the point that he just made, I forget his name, the last caller, pardon me. First point was an awesome one, and he's right. The Yankees, with the pop-up, forget about that. The Yankees are not allowing the Guardians to deploy their best assets. And for that, they need to get credit.
Yes, but again, the reason why the Guardians were put in a hole last night is because their defense, which they're supposed to be great at, that's another thing.
But it wasn't 4-0. I mean, again, one run, first run, all right, not an ideal start. It wasn't like
a pop-up.
Sal, I get that.
I'm not saying that that's the sole reason why they lost the game, but, I mean, could you play a game? We've seen non-competitive play here from the Guardians in this series. They've been non-competitive. And never once watching these games felt like the Guardians had any chance to win a game. Maybe there was a moment where you thought, if Ramirez can somehow get the job done.
He got up there a few times with a chance.
But ultimately, did you ever feel like the Yankees weren't going to beat the Guardians?
No, but every time Jose Ramirez steps in the box, I'm scared, especially against Gerrit Cole, because his numbers tell me he's usually pretty good again.
Yeah.
I mean, Ramirez is a, I don't know, what's the consensus on the show? Top 5-6 player?
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez is insane.
He's hitting a .167 this postseason.
I understand that. Oh, come on, dude. So is Betts.
Hey, but when
is Ohtani hitting .212.
And you know what the difference is?
It's nothing.
No. You know what the difference is?
The other teams have other guys. I get that. That can carry the mail.
Yeah, if Judge hits a .130, the Yankees are going to be fine because they got a bunch of other guys who could beat you. If Ohtani's hitting .200, the Dodgers are going to be okay because they got a bunch of other guys. The Mets could overcome Alonso being a .0 or Nimmo being a .0 because they have a deeper lineup. The Guardians cannot overcome Ramirez not getting the job done, especially in a big spot. They're not good enough. Their guys are borderline major leaguers. Look at their lineup. They stink.
But do we still... Okay, do the Yankees really truly have the amount of reinforcements, if you will, to carry the mail if Judge continues to slump the way you position it? I can say that they don't.
Yeah, I think they do.
But just hear me out. And in 3 years, Volpe might be an all-star. He can't hit right. I mean, and he's actually hit the ball in the postseason. Good swings, even against Kansas City. Hit .212 as a rookie. What did he hit this year? I don't know, .240, .250, whatever. He's not a plus hitter. And then obviously, you know, Wells is a rookie, not hitting. Verdugo hit .233 during the regular season. So right there, 33%, a little 33% of the players that are written on the lineup card are sub-offensive players in Major League Baseball. They just are. And now you've got some floating wild cards like, well, which Stanton version do you get? Which Rizzo version do you get? Which Glaber version do you get? It's the same old story. The Yankees have two stars. Not two and a half, not maybe three. They got two superstars. They got the best player in baseball, Judge, and they got one of the best hitters I've ever seen in terms of approach in Soto. That's really it.
If you took Soto and Judge off the Yankees and out of the Yankees lineup,
yep,
they're still a more dangerous lineup than Cleveland.
If Soto and Judge, Sal.
Look at that Cleveland lineup,
I don't have to, because the Yankees don't have anybody that's even close to Jose Ramirez. Nobody.
John Carl Stanton.
He's not stealing 43 bases like Ramirez did. He's not hitting 39 doubles. Like, he's not even close.
He's having a
Jose Ramirez is a... Dude, he's like...
Stan's having
he
a
hits
better
bombs and runs.
Stan's having a better postseason and has had a
Stanton
better career.
Never plays. Come on.
I'm just saying that right now, if you... Like me, looking at it unbiasedly from a pitcher standpoint, what lineup would you rather face? Give me Cleveland all day long, even without Soto and Judge. Torres, we've seen what he could be, and we know he could be dangerous. Giancarlo Stanton, Volpe, Rizzo, Jazz, Verdugo. Like, these are legitimate major leaguers with the potential to be a lot more than what they're doing. Cleveland's team sucks beyond Ramirez. Look at the guy they hitting second last night. Manzardo? Who the hell is this? He's hitting second in their lineup? They got Kwan is good.
Kwan's very good.
And Naylor. And Naylor can be dangerous. Outside of that, Naylor's dangerous. Brennan, Thomas, Jimenez.
Again, I'm not saying it's Manny and Tolman.
Rocchio.
It's a downgrade. But look at it this way. Take out Soto and Judge from the Yankees, because forget about just this
series. That would level the playing field in this series.
But if you take them off the team and they played 162, it's a 75-win team. Because if you take off Soto and Judge, right? Then, and Stanton misses the, I don't know, 60, 70 games that he missed, and Rizzo misses the, I mean, and who the hell are they?
Right, but then think about it this way. Think about it this way, BT. Those guys both went nuts. As good as you could be over the course of a season, Judge and Soto. Arguably both MVP seasons. Obviously only one can win it, and it's going to be Aaron Judge. And they still, since June 15th, with those guys being out of their mind good, all-world good, have been two games under 500 since June 15th.
But that makes my point. That tells me how inferior the rest of the lineup is, because they were that amazing, and they still didn't have a great record.
But those guys being... Yeah, but that shows the weakness of the team, sure, overall.
That's what I'm saying.
With those guys going nuts. But I still think their lineup without those guys more dangerous than Cleveland.
No way.
Absolutely.
Because anybody that the Yankees roll out there is not even 70%. Said as good as Ramirez and Kwan, by the way, and maybe Naylor.
No, I Cleveland's lineup has zero in it. Yankees have Rizzo, who's been at one point in his career a potent bat. Volpe expected to be good. Chisholm has been an all-star before. Verdugo is a legitimate major league bat. I mean, look at Gleyber Torres, on and on. Not to mention Stanton, who I think would still be the most dangerous out of all those guys.
Yeah, but the guys that you're running through, Sal. I mean, Verdugo.
Ramirez would be the best player. Like, if you took Soto and Judge out, Ramirez would be the best player left overall, and he's not doing anything this postseason. But outside of that, who would you say that would even be second on that
Kwan. Kwan's one of the best pure hitters in baseball. Outside of Soto and Judge. Oh, Kwan's one of the best pure hitters in baseball, no doubt. But think about what we're talking about. Like, so, and I get it. There are things to illuminate favorably with the Verdugos and the other stuff and that you hit. But also, let's not conveniently forget the discussion we had going into the series. Should Verdugo even start? We had that debate on the show. Verdugo or the kid? You were saying it. I was wondering it.
I thought Verdugo all the way.
Look what I'm saying, and so did I. But it was a point of analysis and contention and confusion, because Verdugo hit 230. Torres, he looks really good. We've been saying for 8 months. I've been saying for 3 years. I can't wait till he's gone. Mm. So, what I'm saying is we can't just conveniently fit it now. We have to look at the big picture. And the big picture is, outside of Soto and Judge, the Yankees suck.
I'm going to disagree with that myself. Because I think even with those guys, they have some issues. But if you take them off this team, hey, they may suck. They're still better than the Guardians. So what does that say about them? Think about these guys. They're not even major leaguers, the Guardians. The AL Central disband. Disband! It's worthless! Another worthless AL Central opponent. I want to see some competitive baseball games. The Royals and Guardians. When's the playoffs starting, please?
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating expert.
Was it Howie or Susan that said that they're not focused about the World Series? We're focused about today.
Yep.
I got to be honest with you. That's because the fact is that the fans are feeding all this other fire other places.
Listen, again, it's not enough to get worked up over, but here I am and color me, you know, the fool. I thought it was all because the Mets had the team meeting. Like, yeah. I thought that that was what turned their season around. When Lindor and Martinez spoke, and Pete was at the hospital.
No, it was Jorge Lopez's glove going with the stainless.
Yeah, why don't I have him come back? What's he doing now? He can throw out the first pitch, game three.
Throw out the first glove.
Yeah, that's what you want to see. The rally pimp, you could get him for a game.
I like the rally pimp. I have no problem with the rally pimp. I think he's funny.
And then Hoff Tua, he could have his girl throw out the first pitch.
What they should do is they should have, like, an Apple costume and the Apple in center field. Like, if you're going to go, like, you know, you're going to lean into animation or fictitious characters.
What do you mean?
Make Apple Man. Apple Man to Grimace. I bust out Apple Man. I mean, really, why stop at Grimace?
There it is. It's Apple Man. Oh, he's coming in from center field. The apple rises. He just, a man comes out of it, flies to center field.
Just like Billy Joel popped in from the sky in 86. Well, Billy Joel, he sang the national anthem.
Apple Man.
That guy who came in with the Let's Go Mets sign. And got arrested when he landed, you know, on the field with the parachute. Fly an Apple Man, and then call it a day. You got the Apple turnover at McDonald's, so you got the Apple Man. That's his cousin.
Apple Man. All right. BT and Sal, the fan, will continue with your calls here in just a second. 888-808-1019. One thing I was thinking about, BT, just looking at the schedule here, because obviously it's been chaos. We got the Mets tonight. Yeah, the Yankees standalone last night. Mets standalone tonight. And then you have both teams playing tomorrow and both teams playing on Friday.
Yep.
Potential Yankee game Saturday. We don't know. We'll see if that series goes five. But I was thinking about it. Can the World Series get moved up at this point in the season if, let's say, the Mets or Dodgers wrap it up in five and the Yankees sweep the Guardians?
Yeah, 100%. So if both league championship series wrap up and conclude no later than Saturday, which would...
So no later than
no
Saturday.
No later than Saturday.
So that would mean the Mets-Dodgers ending in five and the Yankees ending in five.
In five as well. So both Saturday ending in five. Yeah. Both ending in five. Then the World Series gets bumped up from... up to Tuesday, October 27th. October 22nd, rather than Friday, October 25th, which is what now and where Game 1 is scheduled. So Game 1 right now.
So it's only going to be either the 22nd or the 25th?
Yes. Yeah, that's it. So right now, it's Friday, October 25th, Game 1. If both of these series wrap up no later than Saturday, then the World Series gets moved up to Tuesday, which is the only other option. It wouldn't be Wednesday or Thursday. It's Tuesday the 22nd or Friday the 25th.
And then if it is, let's say it does get moved up to the 22nd, do you have the rest of the days it would be?
If it gets moved up to the 22nd, I don't. I just have,
like,
the one
that... We would assume if it stands true to the form...
Then it would be the 22nd's a Tuesday,
right.
So it would be Tuesday game one, Wednesday game two, off travel day.
Right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
This is why I was asking, because, I mean, if it's Mets, Yankees, then whatever, all the games are going to be local. So, but... For the Mets perspective, you know, like I have the Mets strip or tickets and thinking about going to the game.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the neck if they make the World Series and it's not, like, the Mets have not had a home weekend playoff game. And they will not if the series is not moved up. But if it does get moved up to Tuesday, then they will have Friday, Saturday, Sunday all at Citi Field, which just makes it easier
to go to. Not only makes it easier, it just gives you more. I mean, can I... Am I 100% sure there'd be more energy on a Friday than a Tuesday, depending upon the game? But you just think Friday, Saturday, Sunday, people more lubed up, getting a little more rowdy.
That's true. Friday night.
Friday night, Saturday night.
And the Yankees have had
tailgate on Sunday, watching football, getting ready to go watch the Mets in a World Series.
Yankees have also not had a home weekend game, right? So far,
let me see. Home weekend.
Oh no, was one of them Sunday?
Hang on. No, they had a home weekend game. Game one.
Game one. Oh, yeah.
Remember when first round against the Royals was Saturday night.
Because I went to game two, which was Monday.
Yes.
Right, so they did have one on Sunday.
Yeah.
And as it's lined up, they would have, if the World Series stands true to what it is now on that Friday, they would, in fact, have game one Friday.
And game two Saturday.
And then the game six and seven probably on the back end of that as well.
Correct.
Right, we'll see. I'm rooting for both teams to wrap it up in five then, because I wanted to have the Mets have those own games.
Let's go.
All right, we'll see what happens tonight out at Citi Field.
Good luck to you, Mets, Sal.
Thank you, BT. Hopefully they can go out there and perform well and get a 2-1 lead, and they can then be 2 games away from the World Series as we get closer to the dream becoming a reality. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Patty Boyle, who's in for Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.